Praise the Lord. Let's get into the Word this morning. Let's pray. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for your Word right now. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our teacher and our guide. And I thank you that He does teach us and He leads us today. And Lord, I thank you for this important message that I believe that we all need to hear today. I pray that you'd help me to deliver it the way that you've put it into my heart and the way that you want us to hear it today. And we thank you, Lord, that believers all across our nation are setting aside this day to pray for our president today and to pray for the will and purpose and plan of God, to cry out to you, Father, for your plan, for your will to be done in our nation. And Lord, I believe and I thank you that you're hearing and you will hear and you do hear those prayers today as we pray. And we thank you, Lord, that you heal our land. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for it. Amen. And everyone that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have been in a series on prayer. And today, Super Kids. Yes, I'm sorry. Follow Miss Linda to Super Kids. All right. But we are in a series on prayer. We've been talking about prayer. And today we're in part one of a two-part within that, a subset that I'm calling increasing the scope of your praying. Oh, yeah. Increasing the scope of your praying. This is part one of that. We'll be talking more about that next week as well. But let's look at the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, he says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Yeah. Well, that's increasing the scope of our praying right there. Isn't it? Yeah. When we get all men, of course, includes all people, men, women, children, everybody. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we started this series several weeks ago. In fact, right after Easter Sunday, I think, the first Sunday after Easter, so April 28. And the title of that message was, Everybody Pray. Remember that? Yes. That God wants all of us praying. Now, we talked about, when we do talk about people being prayer warriors, we say, oh, you know, that person, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, they're a real prayer warrior. But, you know, no one is born a warrior. Amen. Either in prayer or any other way. Nobody's born a warrior. But the two factors that make a warrior are commitment and training. Everybody say commitment.
Amen.
And training.
Training.
Amen. So in order in prayer then, if we'll be committed to pray and if we'll submit to training,
yes,
through the Word of God,
yes,
and by the Holy Spirit, then we can all become, which I believe God wants us to be, we can all become prayer warriors.
Yes.
Amen? Anybody want to be a prayer warrior?
Woo-hoo.
Well, it takes commitment,
yeah,
and it takes training.
Yeah.
But if you'll commit and if you'll train, you can be one.
Amen.
And God wants you to be one. And the kingdom of God and the cause of God and the purpose of God needs more of us to be, step up and be prayer warriors. Amen? Praise God. In fact, my role as a pastor is to help equip you for that. Scripture, my scripturally defined role, you know, the society and custom and tradition can put a lot of expectations on you or try to define your role. But I like to define my role according to what the Bible says I'm supposed to do. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And here's part of it right here in Ephesians 4:11 in the New Living Translation. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Verse 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work. So my responsibility is to equip you. Through teaching you the Word of God, through setting an example before you to equip you. And in this case, as we're talking about today, to equip you to be a prayer warrior.
Amen.
Amen. So that's where you got to submit to the training.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You got to show up and be trained. Amen.
Amen.
You got to be committed and show up and train. And so my role is to help equip you or to train you to do this. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. So far in this series, what we've focused on mainly as well is praying for ourselves. And that's not wrong. That's important. In fact, the Bible teaches that there's a correlation between physical development and spiritual development. Did you know that? You know, Paul talked about it. Paul wrote, he said, I had to speak to you as to babes in Christ. And he said, you need to be growing up. And Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word as newborn babes in Christ, that you may grow thereby. We start out, when you're born again, when you first become a Christian, you start out as a spiritual baby. You may be 50 years old when you get born again, but spiritually you're still a baby. Or you may be 5 years old when you're born again. But you begin as a spiritual baby. Well, now a baby, you think about in the natural, a baby, when that baby is first born, the parents or some caregiver has to do everything for that baby, right? They have to feed it. They have to bathe it. They have to clothe it. They have to carry it. It can't walk. It can't even crawl to begin with. They have to do everything for that baby. But then that baby, as it begins to grow, it begins to be able to do things for itself. This is a good place to interject some stuff about my grandson, Elliot, right now. I did get to see him this week. I got to tell you. I went over, I got to see him on Monday, like I told you, on Memorial Day. So I went over to see him. I walked in and his mama was feeding him. He was sitting in his high chair. And I came in and his back was to me. And she was almost finished. And I thought, well, I'll hold off. I won't come around and let him see me because I don't want him to get distracted. I want his mama to be able to finish feeding him. And so I just stood there, waited for a minute while he finished up. And then I came walking around to where he could see me. And I looked at him and I smiled. I said, hey, Elliot. And he looked at me and he started clapping his hands. He started smiling and clapping his hands. He was so glad to see me. I got to see him Thursday and I got to see him again yesterday. So this pappy is happy. Yes. Amen. Anyway, how did I get off on that? Okay, talking about spiritual development, all right? So Elliot, now he can, some of his food he can feed himself. You know, the first course of his dinner last night, his mom said, well, he can feed himself that. And it's stuff that she'd chopped up for him, you know, and he could take it and eat it. So he can start doing some things for himself. Spiritually, that the same is true. As far as prayer goes, we need to learn to start doing things as you grow spiritually. You don't just get somebody else to do all your praying for you. You learn to pray for yourself, right? That's a part of spiritual development and spiritual growth, right? Amen. But then, so that's all part of it, and we should continue to pray for ourselves. But then we want to even expand the scope of our praying, because how many of you know, as you continue to grow and mature as a person, you not only learn to do things for yourself, but you also learn to assume responsibility and begin to do things for others. Just like my son, you know, when he was born, you know, we had to do everything for him. And now he has a son of his own that he's doing all this for. Amen. So as we grow and develop spiritually, we learn, first of all, somebody has to do everything for us. Then we learn to begin to do for ourselves, pray for ourselves, believe for ourselves. But then we expand the scope of our faith as we mature and grow, and we begin to pray for others. Yes. Amen. And that's what we're going to get into today. And particularly, we're going to talk about praying for those in authority today. Let me go back again. Let's look at this scripture again. He says, therefore, I exhort. Oh, y'all really got it goofed up now. Good grief. Roy, get out of there. Are you getting it switched? I think we're going to get there. All right. If everybody will turn around, you can actually see the words on the screen. All right. Should I wait a second? If not, let's just put it back to the way we had it. At least we could see the scriptures. All right, this is not good. What a day. You know, I got to warn you too, at 11:15, there's going to be a parade of motorcycles going by. Lord help us. All right, just get it back to where we were. That would be great, guys. I want people to at least see. Did anybody bring your Bible today?
Yes.
Oh, good. Just look in your Bible then. We'll keep going. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Pay no attention to the men behind the curtain. All right. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Let's look at it again. Therefore, I exhort first of all. Everybody say first of all.
First of all.
So this is a matter of priority. He said that first of all, I exhort that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, all these are different kinds of praying, be made for all men. And then he gets specific in verse 2. He says, for kings and all who are in authority. So we're to pray for all people, but then very specifically, we're certainly, especially supposed to pray for kings and for all who are in authority. And there's a blessing associated with that, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So there's a blessing coming back to us as we do that. Amen?
Yeah.
Verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So our praying, as we pray for those in authority, the bottom line, as far as God is concerned, is not so the Republican Party can stay in power, or not so the Democratic Party can stay in power, but so that all men can be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If the right people are in positions of authority and they're doing the right thing, then the result will be the furtherance of the gospel. And that's the bottom line. That's why this is important. Amen? Praise God. So we're to make it a priority. He says, first of all right? And the reason we're talking about it, in fact, it fits perfectly. Last Sunday, Franklin Graham issued a proclamation, I guess, asking Christians, and he joined, before he did it, he said he called. I saw his little video this morning. I don't know if anybody saw that, but I prayed with him this morning. I mean, he didn't see me praying, but as he was praying, I was watching the video, and he said, join with me and pray, and so I did. He prayed about a 2 or 3 minute prayer over the president. But last Sunday, he contacted some other faith leaders and said, you know, I really have it on my heart. We need to set aside a day to pray for the president, and I want to do it next Sunday. And they, of course, they agreed. And so he mentioned it last Sunday. And so churches and Christians all over the country are praying for our president today, which I think is awesome. Amen. Now, again, it's something that we should make a priority. We should do all the time. Amen. But I want to read to you what he wrote about this. He says, along with 250 plus Christian leaders, I'm asking followers of Christ across our nation to set aside next Sunday, June the 2nd, as a special day of prayer for the president, Donald J. Trump. President Trump's enemies continue to try everything to destroy him and his family and the presidency. In the history of our country, no president has been attacked as he has. I believe the only hope for him and this nation is God. This is a critical time for America. We're on the edge of a precipice. Time is short. We need to pray for God to intervene. We need to ask God to protect, strengthen, encourage, and guide the president. We know that God hears and answers prayer. He can soften hearts and change minds. He is all-powerful. And he rules over the affairs of nations. The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. On June 2nd, we ask that pastors would lead their congregations in praying for the president, and that individuals and families across the country would have a special focus on praying for the president that day. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that's what Franklin Graham had said there. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
And so there's another leader in the body of Christ that I have great respect for, and that's Pastor John Kilpatrick. He was the pastor at Brownsville Assembly in Pensacola during the great Brownsville Revival that took place from 1995, way on into the 2000s. But this is what Pastor Kilpatrick wrote about this as well. This Sunday, June the 2nd, over 250 Christian leaders are calling on churches across the nation to pray for President Donald J. Trump. It's evident, I like what Pastor Kilpatrick says, it's evident God has raised up this man for the office he now holds And I do not think the Christian community at large fully realizes what a buffer and hedge this president is for the church and the work of God around the world. He has become a defender of the unborn and a champion for Israel and Jerusalem. This speaks volumes about his presidency. Since God has raised him up, we must hold him up through prayer and intercession. As long as Moses' hands were held up by Aaron and Hur, Israel prevailed. I encourage you to join us this Sunday as we continue to hold up the hands of our president in prayer. Amen. Pastor John A. Kilpatrick. Patsy Caminiti, and I'm going to be reading an excerpt from this book, her book, For Such a Time as This, Praying in the Last Days. But she made this statement in the book as well. She said, it is important to pray for the right people to come into positions of authority during critical times. And I believe the church did that, and I believe President Trump is that. Amen. Then she says this, but it is grossly irresponsible, after having fervently prayed a person into a position of authority, to then resort to a passive, apathetic mode, saying, now, you work for us. Do a good job for us. In other words, don't quit praying after the election. Right. Amen? Amen? Keep praying. Continue. So Patsy uses the story of Queen Esther as a scriptural example. And she says this. She says, God knows the plans of the devil in advance. You know the story of Esther, about how God raised up Esther and positioned her to be in the right place at the right time for the nation. God knows the plans of the devil in advance. He purposefully brings people to positions of authority who are best suited for the time. At first, they may not understand their divine purpose for being in authority. And I believe that's President Trump. I believe that, and we begin to pray that. I remember way back in 2015, we here at our prayer group on Wednesdays, we started praying, Lord, give us a leader, because I'd read this. I thought that really rang true when I read this from Patsy. Lord, give us a leader who's best suited for the time in which we live. And I believe President Trump is that man. I believe God answered that prayer. But she says here, he purposely brings people to positions of authority who are best suited for the time. And you know, some people have trouble with President Trump. Well, he's not as good a Christian as so-and-so would be, or, you know, sometimes he uses foul language or whatever. You know, and I'm not saying I promote that or I enjoy that, but I believe overall he's the best suited for the time in which we live. Amen. I believe that. And again, I was not a Donald Trump. I never watched his TV shows. I never stayed in his hotels. I never was a fan of him. But as we prayed, and we pray, and I trust that you do too, but we have our prayer group here, and we pray fervently for the nation and for the election. And I believe people that pray like that pick up on what God's heart is. And I began to see early on in the campaign, in the primaries, people started asking me, well, who do you think, who should we vote for? And I said, well, what I have in my heart is, and I started telling them about President Trump. And I believe God raised him up and put him in that position. It says, at first, they may not understand their divine purpose for being in authority. They may think they came to that position because of a totally different reason. Then something happens which gives them a defining moment. Perhaps someone speaks into their life as Mordecai spoke to Esther, and it dawns on them, oh, this is what I'm here for. I pray that President Trump have that defining moment if he's not had it already. And the good thing about it is he's in a position, he's positioned people around him like Mordecai was with Esther. He has all kinds of Spirit-filled, faith-filled pastors and spiritual leaders advising him and speaking into his life. And I believe the right ones are going to speak the right things into his heart and mind. Amen? So number one, I want us to pray today for President Trump to have wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 says this. Proverbs 8 and verse 1, it says, does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? And the whole 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs is wisdom talking in the first person. All right, if you read through it, Verse 12 says this, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. So wisdom is talking. And then wisdom says this in verse 15. This is Proverbs 8:15, and I'm reading out the New Living Translation. Because of me, that's talking about wisdom now. Because of me, kings reign. And rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help. And nobles make righteous judgments. So we need to pray for our president to have wisdom. And this wisdom that we read about in Proverbs, that's the wisdom of God. But there is, as Patsy points out in her book here, and as we're going to read scripture, there is another kind of wisdom. In James chapter 3, verse 13, we're going to look at this. In James 3:13, it says this, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom, everybody say this wisdom.
This wisdom.
Well, he's talking there about a wisdom that is not of God. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. He's talking about, James tells us here, there's a wisdom that is of demonic origin.
Yes. Amen.
That it's demonically inspired. Yeah. And then in verse 17, he says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. All right. That's the wisdom that's from above. That's God's wisdom. So there's two kinds or two sources of wisdom. Now, I want to read you something that Patsy writes in the book here. There are rulers who pray and ask for God's wisdom. But what about those who don't? We are to ask God on their behalf to give them wisdom. If no request is made for divine wisdom by which to rule, then by default, the only wisdom left to them is the wisdom from below that we just read about there in James. In response to the instruction of 1 Timothy 2 to pray for kings, one thing we can request is that wisdom be given them. God has promised to give it liberally. And when we ask, let's ask in faith, nothing wavering. Rather than trying to figure out what the king is supposed to do relating to national and eternal affairs, let's absolutely trust the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen?
Yes. Amen?
Remember, God's plan does not only affect the well-being of a nation. His plan is ultimately designed to prepare for a harvest of souls. He wills all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. She goes on to say, consistent prayer in this area keeps a steady supply of divine wisdom for rulers to draw upon. In prayer, we can appropriate and dispense this wisdom directly to kings or those who surround them. No matter what things seem like, let's be encouraged not to withhold our prayers, but to continue full of faith and led by the Holy Spirit. With God as the mastermind behind our strategy, in these days there will be absolutely no possible way for defeat. There'll be no way we're going to lose.
Amen.
There is no way we will miss the harvest.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. So let's pray. Let's take a moment right now in the middle of our message. We're going to stop and we're going to pray for President Trump to have wisdom.
Yes,
hallelujah. Let's pray right now. Bow your heads with me. Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for President Donald Trump. And we pray that divine wisdom would come to him. We pray that the wisdom that is from above will enter into his heart in the name of Jesus. We pray that the wisdom of God will fill his mind. We pray, Father God, that you would surround him with advisors and with counselors that will speak from the wisdom of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray that anyone that would counsel him, advise him, or speak into his life, the wisdom that is from beneath, that demonic wisdom, we pray that they be removed from his presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that supernatural wisdom will come to him. Thank you, Lord. These problems, that these crises that we face as a nation, the border crisis and foreign affairs and dealing with terrorism. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that President Trump have divine wisdom, supernatural wisdom. Lord, you have answers for all of these situations. And we believe that a supernatural divine answer, that supernatural divine wisdom comes to him and comes to the people in his administration. In the name of Jesus, we ask you on his behalf today, Father. You told us to pray for those in authority, and we pray for him right now. That divine wisdom come to him. In the name of Jesus, we agree. And everyone that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The second area, there's three areas here that we want to touch on. The second area to pray for is we want to pray for President Trump to have strength. We want to hold up his hands in prayer. Pastor Kilpatrick talked about that in his comments. He said we need to hold up the hands of President Trump just as Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands. And I want to go back and read that account back in the Old Testament, back in the book of Exodus, in Exodus 17 and verse number 8, if you want to look with me there, if you can. Exodus 17, 8, it says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.'" So Moses was going to go up on the hill and he was going to hold up the rod of God while Joshua went out and fought against Amalek. All right. All right. So he did that. Verse 10. "So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was," look at this now. Verse 11 says, "And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed." So as long as Moses held up the rod of God, as long as he held his hands up, then Israel, Joshua leading the battle, and Israel prevailed against Amalek. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So Moses got weary of holding your hands up all day. It's not easy to do, is it? All right. So as long as he held up his hands, Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands. If you got somebody else holding your hands up, you can hold them up a lot longer, right? So Aaron on one side, Hur on the other side, they held his hands up. Moses is holding the rod of God. And so while he's doing that then, Israel can prevail in battle. Amen.
Amen.
Amen? And so they did that, and his hands were steady, the Bible says, until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Pastor Kilpatrick writes, he says, "I do not think the Christian community at large fully realizes what a buffer and hedge this president is for the church and the work of God around the world. He has become a defender of the unborn and a champion for Israel and Jerusalem." So as we hold up the president's hands in prayer, he will continue to be strong. And isn't it wonderful to see how the momentum has shifted? I'll use one example, and that is the pro-life movement. Isn't it wonderful to see how light has shined on that issue over the last year or two? And part of the reason, I don't know that we can give him credit for all of it. Part of the reason is because the president, see, the head is so important. The head of a nation, the words that they speak open doors to spiritual activity, either positive or negative. And the words that our president has spoken and the boldness that he has stood, he's the first president, I think the first president ever, to ever address in person the March for Life that takes place every January in Washington, D.C. He appeared in person and spoke to them. I don't know if he did it this past year, but maybe the year before, I guess the second year that he was in office. So that would have been January of 2018. I got inaugurated January of 2017, of course. And so at the beginning of his second year, I think it's when he did it. But he's the first president to have spoken to this. And the words that they speak release spiritual activity, either good or bad. And you think about when previous presidents have made declarations or issued decrees in any number of areas, it opens the door either for God to move or the devil to move. All right. And so we want to hold up the hands of our president. If he would continue to be strong, to stand for righteousness and to stand for truth. To stand for Israel. The Bible says we're blessed as we bless Israel. Amen. He's also been a champion of religious liberty, both in our nation and also around the world. He's been standing up, speaking up for the rights of Christians that are being persecuted in other nations. He worked to negotiate the release of a Christian pastor that had been held captive in Iran, I think it was, for quite some time, for a couple of years. You know, he was, or maybe, I think it was maybe longer than that, that he was in prison there. Well, when President Trump got in office, he got the guy out. Oh, yeah. Amen. So he's doing a lot in that area. Now, again, another example in Scripture, the prophet Haggai at the direction of the Lord, as we talked about this in our series on restoration, yeah. Revive, restore, and rebuild. Yeah. The prophet Haggai spoke to Zerubbabel. That's what the prophet Zerubbabel is trying to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and is facing all sorts of opposition. He's facing all sorts of attacks coming against him and all sorts of opposition. And they got weary and they quit. The attacks became too much and they said, you know, this is too much. And they quit. For a number of years, they quit. And so God raised up two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, and they began to prophesy to the leaders of the Jews, and one of them was Zerubbabel. And here's what Haggai said in Haggai 2, verse 4. He says, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I'm with you, says the Lord of hosts." I believe in the Spirit. In fact, many times we pray this. I speak this scripture over the president. I say, be strong, President Trump, and work, for the Lord is with you.
Yes, amen.
Amen. In the book of Zechariah, Zechariah was the other prophet that prophesied over the people as they were endeavoring to rebuild. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, "So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Now, Zerubbabel was the political leader of the people. "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." You all heard that scripture, haven't you?
Yes.
"Moreover," verse 8 of Zechariah 4 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it."
Yeah.
Let's pray that President Trump would be strong and that he would finish and that he would carry out all
Amen.
That God has raised him up to do.
Amen.
Will you pause and pray with me right now?
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for President Trump right now and we pray that he would be strong.
Yes.
Father, just as Moses' hands were lifted up by Aaron and Hur, right now, in prayer and in the Spirit, we lift up the hands of President Trump. Lord, we know that as long as his hands stay up, that the causes of righteousness and the purposes that you raised him up to accomplish, they will succeed and they will be fulfilled. So, Father, we hold up his hands with our prayers today in the name of Jesus, and we say, be strong, President Trump. And we say and we speak over him, Lord, that it's not by his own might that he would understand, that it's not by his might and it's not by his power, but it's by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit comes upon him in a mighty way in the name of Jesus, and that he would be conscious of it, that he would recognize it, that he would learn more and more to yield to the Holy Spirit, that he would learn more and more to rely upon the Holy Spirit in negotiations, in dealing with people, in dealing with situations. Thank you, Father, that your Spirit rests upon him And we thank you, Father, that the things that he's laid the foundation for in his presidency, he shall finish it. Just as you said to Zerubbabel, his hands have laid the foundation. His hand shall also finish it. So we pray, Father, we pray that President Trump will fulfill and will accomplish everything that you have appointed and that you've ordained that he do as President of the United States. We ask you for that. We pray for that in the name of Jesus. And everyone that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. The last area is this. We're going to pray that President Trump will be protected and delivered from every attack against his presidency. I want to go back to something to what Franklin Graham wrote. What he said. He said, President Trump's enemies continue to try everything to destroy him, his family, and the presidency. In the history of our country, no president has been attacked as he has. I believe the only hope for him and this nation is God. We need to ask God to protect, strengthen, encourage, and guide the president. So he says, he said, and I agree, no president in the history of our country, no president has been attacked as he has. Here's a scripture in Psalm 140. Here's a scripture that we pray regularly for the president in our prayer group on Wednesday mornings. I want to read it to you, and we're going to pray it. Praise God. Psalm 140 and verse 1, he says, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men. Verse 2, who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asp is under their lips. Verse 4, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. Haven't we seen that? People purposing to make our president stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. This is pretty applicable, isn't it? Verse 6, I said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. And I like this, verse 7. O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've covered my head. That's what our president needs. He needs to have on the helmet of salvation. To where all these attacks, where all these lies and accusations and attacks that have been coming against him, that his head would be covered and he'd just keep his head down and he'd just keep plowing right through and not let it affect him. Amen? Praise God. So we want to pray that President Trump would be protected and that he would be delivered. And we want to pray that for his family and also for his cabinet members as well, but especially for him, that he'd be protected and delivered from every attack against his presidency. Praise God. Will you join with me as we pray that right now? Thank you, Father. Father, we just pray right now again for President Trump, and we pray that he would be protected, and we pray, Father, that he would be delivered from every attack against his presidency. And Father, we pray, Lord, we know the most effective way that we can pray is to bring your word before you and to pray your word over situations. So, Father, we pray this word from Psalm 140 over President Trump right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you deliver him from evil men and that you preserve him from violent men. Lord, deliver and preserve him from those who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. Lord, the poison of asp is under their lips. These acidic attacks against him, these poisonous words and attacks that they continually speak against him, distorting the truth and distorting the things he said. Lord, we thank you that you deliver him in the name of Jesus. Keep him, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve him from violent men who had purposed to make his steps stumble. Lord, we pray that his steps would not stumble. Lord, we thank you. Even though that they've hidden a snare for him and they've spread a net and they've set traps for him. We thank you, Lord, he'll not fall into any of those traps, that you will order his steps, that you will direct his paths in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that you are his God and that you hear the voice of his supplications and that you hear the voice of our supplications and the supplications of the church that is rising up to you today from all over our nation, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that you are the strength of his salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that you've covered President Trump's head in the day of battle. And we thank you, Father God, that he will not fall in battle. We thank you that he will not fail. But we thank you, Father God, that he is divinely protected from every evil attack against his presidency in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, we want to say today that our hope is not in a man. Our hope is in you. Our salvation is in you. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for healing our nation. We thank you for delivering our nation in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we were going to pray a prayer, but it's on the screen. But oh, do we have? They got glory to God. Look at this. Put that prayer up there, Trinity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we do it?
Yes.
Look at that. Woohoo! All right. Stand up with me. Let's pray this prayer together. Hallelujah. Way to go, guys. Y'all are the best. All right. Lift your voice. But see, the devil lost. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Dear Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up our president to you. I know that our leader's heart is in your hand. So I ask you to guide the head of our nation in the way you would have him to go. Father, I pray that you would surround our president with wise counsel, men and women of integrity who place your agenda and the good of this nation above their own and whose motives are for that which is right. I pray that you would give our leader discernment, understanding, and knowledge so that our nation may know stability internally and abroad. I give thanks for our president according to your word. And thank you for working in and through his leadership so that we might lead peaceable lives in godliness and honesty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we believe it. Lord, we thank you for it. Reed, come on back up here if you would. And put on your worship leader hat back on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just be seated for a moment. Let's just stay in this attitude of prayer for just another moment. And you may be seated. Thank you, Lord. I just want to ask before we go today, we've prayed for our president, but I want to make an invitation. If you would bow your heads just for a moment, close your eyes. And I just want to ask, I don't want to let this opportunity pass by because I don't know the spiritual condition of everyone here. Even if I know you, I still don't know your spiritual condition. Only God knows and only God sees your heart. But with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give an opportunity for you to come to know personally Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven if Jesus were to come back today. I'm not sure. I can't say with confidence, I know that I'm a child of God. I know that Jesus is my Lord. If you can't say that with confidence, then I want to pray for you because you can walk out of this building and, you know, 5 minutes from now when we dismiss the service, knowing that you're a child of God, knowing that you're going to heaven. It's that simple. The Bible says if we will confess, number one, the Bible tells us that we all need a Savior. The Bible tells us all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and our sin separates us from God. That's why God sent Jesus to bring us back to Him. We all need a Savior. And Jesus came and He fulfilled the plan of God. He died on the cross. He shed His blood. He was raised from the dead. And the Bible says if we acknowledge that reality, that we can be saved. We can't save ourselves. All of us have sinned. And all of us, our sins separate us from God. We need a mediator. That scripture in 1 Timothy talks about that we read. Since God wills all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is our bridge to get back to God. And so the Bible says if we'll confess Him as our Lord, and if we'll believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. And so you can do that today if you've never made Him the Lord of your life. It's that simple. Confessing Him as your Lord, believing that God raised Him from the dead. The Bible says when you do that, rest Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 that I've quoted you. The Bible says a person that does that is saved. It's whoever calls, verse 13 of Romans 10 says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. John wrote in John chapter 1, he says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power, the right, to become children of God, to those who believe on His name. So while we're in an attitude of prayer, I want to ask, is there anybody good to say, Pastor, I've never done that. I've never personally asked Jesus to come into my heart. I've never personally, consciously put my faith in Him to be my Lord and Savior. If you've never done that and you want to do that today, today's your day. If that's you, would you just raise your hand, Pastor, pray for me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life.